Lord, make us masters of ourselves so that we may be servants of others. Take our hands and work with them. Take our mouths and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I don't know about you, but initially I was somewhat disappointed with the behavior of the wise bridesmaids toward the foolish ones for not sharing with them some of their oil so that they could also be at the receiving line when the bridegroom comes. Why there is no generosity which we find elsewhere in the Gospels? In our parable, the bridegroom also seems rather harsh towards the foolish bridesmaids. He says to them, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Why there is no grace, which also we find elsewhere in the Gospels. But as I thought more about this parable, a different picture began to emerge for me. Unlike the other parables, this one is about the last judgment, which is unheralded and yet decisive. It happens in lightning speed. There will be no time for the prudent ones to share with the careless ones. What this parable tells us is that no one else can do the work for us when it comes to following Jesus wholeheartedly. One cannot enter the banquet hall under someone else's name. Can an athlete who skipped practices and who has not trained adequately expect another person to run the race for him or her? Can a student who has not prepared for the exam ask another student to take the exam in his place? Just because your father or grandfather was a godly person, can you get to heaven on his coattails? There is no borrowing of someone else's consciousness or expertise in the end. And if we cut corners, we ourselves might find we are outside the gate. It is indeed a sobering parable. A story is told about a skilled carpenter who worked for a successful contractor. One day the contractor said, "I'm putting you in charge of the next house we build. I want you to order all the materials and oversee the job from the ground up." The skilled workman accepted the assignment with enthusiasm. But as he worked, he thought to himself, "Hey, I'm in charge, so I will cut few corners and use less expensive materials and then pocket the money. No one will ever know." So he ordered second-grade lumber and put cheap wiring. He hired unskilled workers at minimum wage. A few cheap ornamental components added finishing touch. When the home was completed, the contractor looked it over. He said, "Looks like a fine job. Now I have a surprise for you. I have decided to give you the house as a reward." The story prompts us asking, for whom are we working? Whether in regard to the earthly physical labor or work for the kingdom. Have we been careless or casual about our own core values and ethics? As Christians, we are called to live out the values of the kingdom. We are called to be the light of the world shining on a lampstand. The oil in our parable that make our lights burn and shine is the faithful and accountable life we live based on our core values. which are shaped and formed by our Christian calling? Are we living deeply and consistently into our core values today? For us Christians, living into our core values always has to do with the person of Jesus Christ, for he is the Word, the expression of God's will for humankind. Christ stands before us, beckoning us to inhabit the core values embodied in his life and teachings. The five bridesmaids were locked out of the wedding banquet, not because they had fallen asleep, or because they had refused the original invitation, or because they were not wearing the proper attire, but because they were unprepared to fulfill their responsibilities. They lacked the oil for the long run, for the longer than imagined wait for the bridegroom's return. The early Christians, like the community of Matthew and the community in Thessalonica, were caught off guard by the long wait for Jesus' return. Like them, 2,000 years later, we too have been called to wait. Unlike some Christian traditions of our time, we don't speculate when the wait will be over. But are we prepared? Are we prepared for the delay? Will we be caught off guard either by the second advent of the Lord or by the end of our own life here on earth? Will our lamps be burning well into the night, or will we find ourselves short of oil and our lamps sputtering out? Will our lamps be burning and shining even at the most unexpected time, like the midnight? How can we ensure ourselves from being shut out of the banquet? How can we make sure that our deepest values are congruent with our calling as followers of Christ? And how can we safeguard ourselves from being concerned and organized by the values that are not congruent with our calling as Christians? Jesus tells us that, remember, early in Matthew, after the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So let us ask ourselves this morning, how brightly do our lamps burn? Let each one of us ask, how brightly am I burning and shining? Jesus gives us a clue as to how our lives might burn brightly as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Just a few verses down from today's gospel, Jesus tells us how we might prepare ourselves for his coming. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you stranger and welcomed you, naked, and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Today, collectively, St. Peter's lamp is burning and shining brightly in this community and abroad. Yesterday our family fed 130 families or about 250 or so individuals, including children, about 70 children. Throughout this past week, every day our facility was used to feed people in our community. And our mission group, about 3 weeks ago, raised over $7,000 by bringing awareness about the work of Christosol in El Salvador. If our collective lamp is not burning as brightly as it should be, let us just ask individually, is it because of me? Is it because of me St. Peter's light is not burning as bright as it should be? Today is Pledge in Gathering Sunday. I would like to see all of us have our lamps lit as brightly as possible. I would like to see all of us becoming pledging members and become stakeholders in what God is doing in our midst. Let us all hear Jesus saying to each one of us, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. You did it to me.